Hey everyone, welcome to episode 41 of Sits and Giggles. I'm your host Casey, and I am joined by Krista. How you doing, Krista?
I'm in absolute awe right now.
Good.
Because while we were, you were doing the intro theme, I was scrolling through the Twitter, and somebody just retweeted this little clip from the Washington Capitals of Mites on Ice.
Uh-huh.
And this little kid back checks the entire length of the ice, like full length ice, back checks it, steals the puck, takes it back all the way up ice, and then scored a goal.
Nice.
It was gnarly.
So that little kid like had the force.
He had the force, Casey, exactly.
Nice. I thought maybe you were going to reference my Ben Solo challenge. I thought maybe you were in awe of that.
What?
Yeah, do you know about the Ben Solo challenge going on right now on Twitter?
No.
What? The scene in Rise of Skywalker where he takes the lightsaber and he brings it out from his behind his back and he just like kind of does that shrug and he starts fighting people. The Ben Solo challenge is where people are like taking, like they're doing that. They're recreating that. How did you not know this was going on?
I did not know that this was going, I don't know.
Yeah. So like I did. Yeah. Well, okay. It's weird. I don't know where to go with this now. So we're talking Star Wars. We're going to talk about
the year 2020.
All the things coming out in 2020, which is, compared to last year, does not feel like that much. Feels like we are getting a break from Star Wars. This is the first time since 2014 that we are not getting a Star Wars movie.
Wow, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And we're going back to the dark ages.
Well, we're getting two TV shows and four books and, four like regular books and then like four comic books and then whatever Project Luminous is.
Isn't that supposed to be like multi?
It's gonna be, yeah, it's gonna be books. It's going to be based on like the publishers that are putting something out. There's going to be at least one book, one comic, like a young adult comic, and then like the young kid comic or whatever you want to call it, like the stuff that IDW puts out, like Star Wars Adventures. I don't know how like whatever the comic book equivalent of like a young reader is, like that's what, we don't know anything about that yet, other than who the writers are going to be, and then like the name of the project, like Project Luminous. I'm guessing it's just a working title. Like we don't even know what like the actual name of it's going to be. It's definitely like the most intriguing thing that Star Wars has coming out in 2020. But other than that, we know nothing about it. Lucas, what?
I just saw that we're getting a prequel to Queen Shadow.
Okay, yeah. So let's finish Project Luminous.
I was just scrolling.
Okay, so Claudia Gray, I'm guessing, is going to do the young adult book. Justina Ireland could also be doing a young adult book. Daniel Jose Alder could also be doing a young adult book. Charles Soule, I'm guessing, is going to be doing the comic book, and then Kevan Scott is probably going to do like the young reader comic for IDW. So I guess, yeah, maybe there'll be like three books and two comics, which totally for.
I'm just really interested. I feel like it's going to be just, and I could be completely off base, but you'd like the little symbol that they're using.
That's the Jedi symbol.
That's the Jedi symbol. So yeah. I feel like it has to be something Jedi related.
Yeah, and the tagline is, "The Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things until Project Luminous." So
I just want to say that I'm not an idiot. I just didn't scroll. I had scrolled and it was cut off, so I didn't see it, and I didn't think to scroll up a little bit because I don't know why I didn't think that there would be a tagline.
Wait, are you talking? I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about like because the symbol was so small. Well, I'm taking for granted that like I'm looking at it on my phone, and the symbol is like the size of like almost a pinhead. So like, I was taking for granted that you were probably looking at the same thing I was.
On my laptop, are you looking at Geek Culture?
No, I'm looking at Wikipedia.
I'm on Geek Culture.
Oh, Wikipedia. I go to Wikipedia for.
I mean, it's great. It is, but Geek Culture had a nice compiled list of everything that's coming in 2020 for me.
Oh, so. See, I just watched the video and wrote it all down like a loser.
I watched the video and then I didn't write anything down, so I was like, "Well, shit."
Does Geek Culture have the days that these are coming out?
So it seems like we have release dates for certain things. Yes. Okay.
So you mentioned Queen Sparrow, which you sounded very excited about coming
out. I said this is someone who's been slacking and has yet to even finish Phasma.
Queen Sparrow is going to be the sequel. No, it's going to be a prequel.
To
Queen's Shadow by E.K. Johnston. No relation to me. I wish there was, because I would probably get like a bunch of free Star Wars stuff.
Oh, God. I'm really pumped to see, because it sets right after her ascension to the throne.
So that would even be like pre Phantom Menace.
Yes.
I'm guessing that's
uncharted Padme territory.
This even is, I mean, except for like that one Claudia Gray book, this is uncharted Star Wars territory, period. Like, we've got next to nothing when it comes to like pre Phantom Menace Star Wars stuff. That's exciting.
Inject it into my veins.
This is, oh man, there's like, the story has so much potential, because like, you get a young Padme, we're gonna get like, I'm guessing that we're gonna get like Palpatine before he's like the Chancellor. Like that.
Back when he's just a senator.
Yeah, like that excites me.
This is coming out on May 5th.
Okay. And that is also the same day that Thrawn Ascendancy Chaos Rising by Timothy Zahn comes out, which I don't know which book I'm going to read first. I might have to flip a coin on that one.
Queen's Peril, Casey.
Well, okay, I really liked...
And then I'll read it at the same exact time, so I actually read it.
I really liked Queen's Shadow, but I also really liked the new Thrawn trilogy, which is saying a lot, because the Legends Thrawn trilogy did absolutely nothing for me. We're gonna lose like three of our four listeners because I'm saying this, but like the Thrawn trilogy of books did nothing for me, and like the Thrawn trilogy like comic version of those books did nothing for me. So like, it's saying a lot, like how much I loved like Timothy Zahn's new Thrawn trilogy. So, like, it's really going to be a struggle for me, like, which one I'm going to read on that day.
And to which, just picture me in my mind standing as Will Smith does when he was showing off Jada Smith on the carpet that one time. And where Jada Smith would be, there would be new uncharted territory in Star Wars with free Phantom Menace.
I'll make you a deal. You said May 5th is coming out?
Yes.
If you finish Phasma by then and are ready to start Queen's Peril, I will read the book first.
I'll do you one better. I'll finish Phasma and I'll finish Queen's Shadow.
Okay. You finish them both by then, and you can start Queen's Peril on May 5th. I'll start it with you.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. That's the plan.
Okay. So we have the Thrawn trilogy coming out, which is also going to be uncharted Star Wars territory, because that's even going to be like before he joins the Empire.
Ooh, that's nifty.
Yeah, so like
I'd be interested in Thrawn then.
I'm getting, like, I like this because like we are getting, I'm guessing going to be like a 100% protagonist Thrawn. Like,
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so like in his original Thrawn trilogy, well, in the new canon, original Thrawn trilogy, you know, like, he's kind of like the antagonist, but he's also the protagonist, so you're kind of like back and forth on how you feel about him. Like, is he loyal to the Emperor? Is he not loyal to the Emperor? Like, now, like, I'm kind of glad that
Wait. Which would be which?
Which, what do you mean?
Like, when you say protagonist, is that when you're referencing to him kind of being like...
Yeah, so, like, as the protagonist, like, he's kind of, like, not too loyal to the Emperor. Like, he's really loyal to, like, the Chiss. But, like, you know, as the antagonist, from our point of view, from someone who's, like, not, like, an evil fascist, like, as the antagonist, like, he's the loyal, like, Imperial, like...
Okay.
Officer. That's where I meant, yeah. Interpret that however you want, I guess, though. But, like, I'm also kind of curious... how I'm going to feel about this, because, like, the original Thrawn book kind of, like, really leaned into, like, its connections to Star Wars Rebels, and the second Thrawn book was kind of, like, an episode of Star Wars, like, the Clone Wars. Like, it really leaned into, like, the Anakin, like, Padme storyline, and, like, it took place, like, during, like, the Clone Wars era. The third book, which really relied on you being a fan of Thrawn because it didn't make really any other connections to, like, any other, like, Star Wars media, like, that was my least favorite of the three books. So now that we're going to get, like, a Thrawn book that probably cannot rely on, like, any other, like, parts of, like, the Star Wars story, I'm kind of curious how I'm going to feel about that.
It does say it will center around him.
Yeah. So. Which he is, he's an interesting character. I kind of looked at him as kind of like, he's kind of like the Sherlock Holmes of Star Wars. Like, he is like the problem solver, and he can, like, kind of just analyze things out of, like, thin air that, like, you're like, wow, where did he even, like, think of that? So, like, I like that aspect of him. So if we get more of that in this book, I'll be happy. The book I'm probably... most excited about, though, is going to be the Rise of Skywalker novelization.
I was about to say that, because same.
By Rae Carson. I'm just really curious to see what they do with the story where we can get, like, the inner monologues of the characters. And I'm also really curious what Rae Carson will do with, like, Leia now that she's not, like, hamstrung by having to just only use unused footage of Carrie Fisher, and what she can do with, like, Leia's dialogue. I'm really fascinated by that. Rae Carson said that if everything that she's putting in her novel were in the film, I think she said the film would be over 3 hours long. So we're definitely going to be getting, like, plenty of new stuff for this novel.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Speaking of Carrie Fisher and unused footage, did you see that link I sent you where it said Billie Lourd had played, she played Leia in the flashback scene?
Did you text it to me?
Yeah. So they, so Mark Hamill was
okay,
playing.
Okay, so wait, hang on. So I think I know what you're talking about. You just sent me the top 100 places to eat twice.
Oh.
And I just didn't acknowledge it because I assumed it was by mistake.
Oh, oops. Okay. I guess I had food on my mind. But no, so
fair.
Billie Lourd, so Mark Hamill played Luke, and they just properly de-aged him. But then, like, Billie Lourd played Leia, and they did, like, the digital recreation of her face like they did for Rogue One, which I thought was a nice touch, you know, like...
I like that.
Yeah. And then finally for books, this is the one I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be a negative Nancy. If you're excited for this book, power to you. Shadowfall, which is the sequel to Shadow Squadron or Shadow Wing. I can't even remember the name of the book. I think it's Alphabet Squadron by Alexander Freed. Man, I just really wanted to get into this book because so many people talked about how they loved it and how it was their favorite Star Wars book, and I just couldn't get into it. Could not get into it. Didn't hate the book. I'll read the sequel, but like it was really hard to follow. And something I'm noticing with Star Wars books, and I'm going through it with like the book I'm currently reading right now, but like something I'm noticing with Star Wars books is that I think they're at their best when they're really like focusing on the character and they're being character driven and it's kind of like a character study. But then when you kind of like try to add in the epic space battles that work so well in the movies, like they don't work as well.
It feels disjointed and
lost. Yeah, and like it's hard to follow. And that book was probably, I would say like 70-30 towards like space battles. So it was like really tough for me. I spent a lot of pages like not knowing what was going on because of that.
This is weird to say. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but for whatever reason, like, I love sci-fi. I do. But it more so than any other genre, I have such an incredibly hard time visualizing, like, the space battles. Mm-hmm. Like, in my head, it just, for me, it's really hard for me to visualize it. So I don't necessarily overly enjoy those parts of books. And I kind of just want to try to get through them as quick as possible.
Yeah. And like, I'm reading a book right now called Last Shot by Daniel Jose Older, which is like a Han and Lando novel. And like, it's really good, except there's a couple of like those space battle scenes. And it's like, just get me through this so I can get to like the next funny scene. Because like, it's a funny book. It has like one of the funniest like moments of like any Star Wars book I've ever read.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I kind of look at it as, like, I can see the big space battles in the video games and the movies and the TV and even in the comics. Like, when it comes to books, I almost want that, like, flushing the characters out, getting, like, you know, their inner monologues, getting that kind of information. I don't necessarily want to be reading about nothing but like the majority just being space battles.
Right. Because I think a space battle is really like a show don't tell sort of thing. So like, yes, when you can't show it, that's why it works well in like every other medium. It's just not a book. So, but yeah, I mean, hey, if you're excited for Shadowfall, that's great. I'm glad. I'm
happy for you.
Yeah. And then for the TV shows, we don't have anything new, but we have two new seasons of old shows coming out. We've got the Clone Wars, which I guess like Disney accidentally released the release date, and then they took it back, but I think it was February 20th maybe is the day it's coming out. I can't even remember now.
Yeah. So far, yeah, right now the thing I'm reading on Geek Culture just has it as February 2020.
Yeah.
I'm excited for what looks like it is going to be the overlapping arch theme of the final season, which is them attacking Mandalore in an attempt to take down Maul.
Yes.
I'm excited for that, which means I need to watch all of Clone Wars finally.
I'm excited for that too. There's also going to be like an Ahsoka centric episode where she's kind of like, it focuses on her and the underworld of Coruscant right after she leaves the Jedi. And then like, there's going to be an episode that focuses on like Kyber crystals. I think the arc is called like Crystal Crisis, and I don't know the premise of it, but it has something to do with Kyber crystals. And then there's going to be a Stormtrooper arc called the Bad Batch, which is about a group of like genetically like modified clones that were modified for like, you know, war fighting purposes. But the Mandalore episodes are the ones I'm most excited about. And I'm guessing that's going to be the series finale. And I'm guessing we're going to have to sit through Order 66 again.
God. Yeah, probably. No, that does seem to be the, like, what the, like, that the Siege of Mandalore is going to be like the final battle of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
The other show we can talk about, and kind of also, it's not a show or a book or a comic or anything, but what will be coming out in 2020 is like the rest of the Baby Yoda merchandise, along with the Mandalorian season 2 in the fall.
Really excited for that. We know absolutely nothing about that other than like Jon Favreau tweeted a picture of like a Gamorrean guard from Jabba's palace, like the ones you see in Jabba's palace.
Oh, nice.
Only thing we know about it. We honestly don't even know for sure that Baby Yoda is going to be in it, but Baby Yoda better be in it or else.
No, he basically confirmed that Baby Yoda was going to be in
Did
it.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, because I read an article today actually where I guess enough dumb people out there believed that Baby Yoda was somehow actually Yoda. But apparently that got enough attention that Jon Favreau had, in an interview, had to acknowledge that that's impossible, that Yoda died in Return of the Jedi. We saw him become one with the Force. Because we don't know anything other than Yoda, we don't know, you know, like a species or anything. It is entirely plausible, like it makes sense as to why people would call it Baby Yoda, but it is not Yoda.
Right.
And in doing so, he said he actually knows what Yoda's name is. And somebody asked him, was like, oh, can we get a hint? And he's like, no, I'm not going to give any spoilers. He's like, you'll just have to wait and see. So
that's really dumb.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to name him that are going to make us say, like, oh, man, I'm really glad that, like, I didn't know about that until the show came out?
I don't disagree.
Like, what's Anakin Skywalker Jr.? Like, what's his name going to be that's going to be so shocking that they have to, like, hold on to that until the next season comes out?
I mean, this is Disney we're talking about.
Sorry, I don't want to sink into, like, a rant about anti-spoiler culture, but, like... Yeah.
That's because we don't abide by that anti-spoiler culture here at Sits and Giggles.
No, not at all. We are totally spoiler friendly. And we are also Baby Yoda friendly. And I'm 100% going to call him Baby Yoda even when we learn his real name.
Same. And also, if anybody's not Baby Yoda, they have to stop listening to our podcast immediately. If you're not Baby Yoda friendly...
If you don't like Baby Yoda, you're basically a sociopath.
Yes.
And finally,
I have spoken.
Yes. Finally, for 2020, we've got 4 new comics coming out. Let me tell you what, this time let me start with the one I'm least excited about. And that is Star Wars Bounty Hunters by Ethan Sachs. Because you know me, and stories that have nothing to do with the Force, they don't excite me. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not saying. I mean, I didn't think a show about a Mandalorian was going to excite me, and then you brought in like a Force-sensitive baby puppet, and then like that's the ball game. So, I mean, there's potential for the comic book, but like it's one I'm not very excited about. For 3 that I am excited about. The first issue already came out. It is the first issue of the main Star Wars run by Charles Soule.
That was so good.
Yes, the dialogue was some of like the best dialogue I've ever read in a Star Wars comic, and the art was amazing.
Yes and yes. And I'm a big critic when it comes to the art in comics. If I don't like it, like I will just not read your comic if I don't like your art style. Which is terrible, but it's how I am.
Yeah. Well, no, that's why, like, I'm having trouble getting into a lot of, like, the Dark Horse Star Wars comics because the art doesn't really work for me. And that's a very distracting thing for me. But there was, like, one panel in particular I loved because it mirrored a panel from, like, Kieran Gillen's Darth Vader comic when he finds out that, like, Luke is his son. And, like, Vader's, like, just, he, like, shatters, like, all the windows on his Star Destroyer. And he's standing in front of, like, the shattered, like, window. And you see Luke, who's, like, kind of like, I don't know if like he's being tempted by the dark side, but he's like definitely feeling like a lot of anger and frustration. And like he lets it out and like he breaks a window and he is standing like in front of like a shattered window, just like his father was in like his own comic. And I just like that the way that like it mirrored that was totally amazing. And I love, absolutely love Charles Soule. Like he's the best Star Wars writer.
Yeah, he does some of my favorite work.
Yeah. Definitely the best comic writer. If he started writing Star Wars novels, he might be the first one to like rival Claudia Gray as my favorite like Star Wars novel writer.
Yeah, that's a very high possibility.
Yeah.
You know, one thing we did, you did not mention that'll be coming in 2020.
What's that?
They're going to release Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, which is going to combine all 9 movies into 1 video game.
I will play that. I played the Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens. Did they even do one for The Last Jedi?
I don't know. But I apparently either they, you know, even if they haven't, we're getting one because it's all 9 films. And it's going to be PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. I'll probably get it for my Switch at some point.
I would be up for that if it came out for like either Xbox or PS4. I'd be up for that.
I just feel like I would play it more on my Switch. Be a good game and like trips and stuff like that.
Do they do like online gaming with it?
I don't think so. At least as far as I know, they have never done online aspects of the Lego games, but I am not sure.
Okay, because I was gonna say like get it for like PS4 and then like we can play together. But
oh my god, Casey!
What?
Now we have to research this. Could you imagine if we recorded ourselves playing that game?
We need to record, like, we're going to record ourselves playing Trivial Pursuit here one day, and that's going to, like, are you a competitive person?
Oh, I'm a super competitive, that's why I'm going to read these books, because I don't like losing.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, that could probably, like, people can, like, listen to, like, our friendship be ruined over a game of Trivial Pursuit, like, live.
No, that wouldn't ruin our friendship. What would ruin our friendship is us probably trying to, like, play Lego Star Wars together.
All right.
Although, I don't know. You and I have seen very similar tendencies, it seems. We like the same type of games.
This will...
So, who knows?
And then after the Star Wars comic...
You are on mute.
Sorry. And then after the Star Wars comic, we have the Darth Vader series coming out by Greg Pak, which, yes, it's another Darth Vader series, and I totally understand, like, if people aren't excited for it. But, like, at least, like, this one is taking place, like, between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. It's, like, uncharted territory for Darth Vader. So, like, while we get to see Luke deal with, like, the realization that Vader is his father in the main Star Wars comic, we get to see, like, Vader deal with the realization that his son has rejected him in the Darth Vader comic. So, like...
All I'm saying is, give me some Vader's palace, then.
Yeah, I would 100% guarantee there's going to be some Vader's palace in here. And then the story is being told by Greg Pak, who... I know he did the last run on the Star Wars, like the Star Wars mainline, which the last arc for the Star Wars mainline was some of the best stuff they had done in months. And then I'm pretty sure he did the Age of Resistance comics. You know how they did like Age of Republic, Age of Rebellion, Age of... I'm pretty sure he did the Age of Resistance. So, I mean, like, his track record is good, and since we're finally getting like unexplored territory for Vader, which like I didn't think there was any territory left to be explored. I just like how I feel like in Charles Soule comic, we got to see like Vader like dive like deeper into the dark side as like Padme has rejected him, and now we get to see like what he feels like after Luke has rejected him. So like I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I am too. And I mean, like, just looking at like the projected artwork and stuff, like cover that they're showing with it and everything, it looks appealing. Like, I will say that it appeals to me. So while yes, I find Vader to be quite overplayed at this point, I think the market's heavily saturated. We get new Vader content all the time, to the point where it's kind of gotten a bit repetitive, which is terrible to say because I love Vader. He's a great character. So I'll probably still read it. I'm not entirely, you know, sold on it. I guess we'll see how that goes. And they're really pumping out things for February. Damn. This is on first issue drops February 5th, I think.
Yeah, that I did notice that. We're getting a lot of and the Rise of Skywalker book comes out in February too, doesn't it? Or is that March?
That comes out in, hang on, I'll tell you. March 2nd.
So that's first 3 months we're getting one thing every month. So I like that. Give us like one thing every month. You don't have to like pile it on.
I mean, February we're getting Clone Wars and...
Oh yeah, we are getting Clone Wars in February.
And the Darth Vader comic. I don't know the dates for the other comics. But
I'm pretty sure we're getting Dr. Aphra sometime in March. Oh, we haven't mentioned Dr. Aphra yet.
We're supposed to be supposedly maybe getting a Dr. Aphra Disney Plus show.
That, okay. I mean, I think that's just a rumor. It'd be cool if it were true, but I think it's just a rumor.
Nope, it's true, but I agree with you. I think it is just a rumor, but it is out there.
I do like the fan casting of Chloe Bennett as Dr. Aphra. Chloe Bennett from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I endorse this 100%. She's so hot, and she's a good actress. I think she would do well.
Yeah.
She's really attractive.
So we've got the Dr. Aphra comic by Alyssa Wong coming out in March. Dr. Aphra, I like Dr. Aphra let Star Wars get really weird, and I like that. I wish more of Star Wars got as weird as Dr. Aphra. Like, if you had told me, like, 5 years ago that one of my favorite Star Wars comics was going to feature, like, a rogue scoundrel archaeologist who was fighting, like, a force-sensitive fungus on, like, a prison planet, I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, none of that makes sense. Give me lightsabers. Like,
yeah.
But, like, it happened. Like, I love that comic. And I think that, like, the tone of that comic, like, more Star Wars projects need to have that.
I just like that she's basically... She kind of reminds me of, like, a weird cross between, like, Han Solo and Jones.
Yeah.
What a badass woman.
That's how... Yeah, I've described her that way, too. I totally agree with that. So
I'm super pumped.
So that is everything Star Wars coming out in 2020. So of all of those things you mentioned, we've mentioned, what's the one thing you think you're most excited about?
It's a toss-up. And any, you can interchange these. They do not have a specific order, but the Rise of Skywalker Expanded Edition. Super pumped for that. I'm really, like you mentioned, excited to see what they do with Leia's character. I'm also excited for more of what's going on in Rey's mind during all of this. like we kind of see it, but at the same time, like I feel like the right author could do wonders with basically, because you can see she has an inner battle going on and stuff like that. The right author could be able to write all that out like fantastically. I don't think that's a word, but we're gonna roll with it. So that I'm excited for. I'm also really excited for obvious because Padme and Uncharted Territory. So we're gonna see pre-Chancellor, Chancellor Palpatine perhaps. But regardless, I think it's gonna be really interesting to see how Padme's character reacts, like is first when she takes the throne, because she was what, 14?
Yeah, about that.
So that's gonna be interesting. And the other thing that I am excited for, obviously, Mandalorian season 2. Not just because of Baby Yoda.
I mean, I
But
would
it's
totally
like,
understand if it were just because of Baby Yoda.
I mean, it's especially because Baby Yoda. But I did. I really enjoyed the feel of the Mandalorian. I actually really, really liked how everything was kind of. You could tell they tried to use as little of CGI as possible, which I thought was interesting. It definitely had the original trilogy vibe to it a little bit, style wise. And I'm just really interested to see where it's going with the story.
Right, which I'll tell you, the interesting thing about that, remember that article you sent me a few months ago before like The Mandalorian even aired, where Jon Favreau was talking about the way they were shooting The Mandalorian, and he really, I mean, like, it looks like he really laid off the CGI, but he used probably more of it than Lucas used like in the prequels.
Oh,
Like
100%.
that's like, but just like the, I think that like
It's the way.
the technology between like 20 years ago and today is just like night and day with what he was able to accomplish, like look wise.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But I also think, I don't know, in a way, for me, it was the way that the CGI was used. So, like, yes, we know it's going to have a shit ton in it because it's in everything these days. But it wasn't in your face constantly,
Right.
which is a nice change of pace, to
Yeah.
be honest. And it was well done. It was very well done. It was beautifully shot. I loved the credit scenes where you got the storyboard art. I looked forward to that at the end of every episode.
More TV shows need to end with like their end credits playing over their concept art. I think that was a great idea.
Yes. Hell, movies should do it too.
Yes. I think for me, it's a toss-up between The Rise of Skywalker novelization for the same reasons that you mentioned, and also probably season 7 of The Clone Wars. Because, like, I have watched that show, like, obsessively. Like, there's a number of arcs that, like, I've probably watched 20 times. Not counting the times, like, I've turned them on my iPad to, like, fall asleep to them. Like, I just. Like there's certain aspects of that show I just absolutely love. So to get the end of it and just to get that Battle of Mandalore arc, really pumped for it. Really, really pumped for it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I started watching them, like really watching them, and I realized when I was watching them, I've never actually watched the movie that preluded them. So I had to stop to watch that. I'm about halfway through the movie. And now I had caught and watched an episode of Clone Wars here and there when they used to air on TV. So like I was familiar with them and everything, but like actually sitting down and watching them now, it's funny because some episodes are so good, and then some episodes I'm just like, this is a show for children.
Yeah.
Show me.
The fact, like, and the weird thing about
And I
it is,
keep
like,
watching.
there's definitely some episodes that are for children, no doubt. But then there's, like, some episodes, like the Mortis arc, where it's like, is this really for children? Like, would children even understand, like, what is going on in this episode?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, grim, dark, like adult oriented, but it's also just like thematically very heavy. So yeah,
So I'm excited. There's not a tremendous amount coming in 2020, but there's still reasons to be an excited Star Wars fan.
absolutely. All right. Got anything else before we end this?
Nope.
All right. Everyone, hey, if you're doing the Ben Solo challenge on Twitter, make sure you send us the tweet of your Ben Solo challenge video. Follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sits Giggles Pod. Krista, where can people follow you?
At Critter, KRI, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
All right, and then you can check us out on iTunes, Spreaker.com, and the Google Play Store. Thanks for listening. Bye.